Kevin Stallings, who just completed his season. I'm sure a weekend or two a little bit early for him, to his liking. But in any event, he comes in today to talk a little bit. Kevin, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Coach, yesterday we spent a decent amount of time beating around the concept that was in the Tennessean, that you know that your team overachieved this year, and we talked about the way the whole season went with the, you know, being undefeated at home, of course, and then the tournament itself. Would it be a fair characterization to say that this team was a season of overachievement with an extremely disappointing end?
Oh, it was an extremely disappointing end, whether we overachieved or not,
yeah.
I think what happened was we just won a ton of close games, and don't get me wrong, I think we had a very good team, and we won 26 games. We're playing in the Southeastern Conference. That's quite an accomplishment in my opinion. But if you look at our scores, we were never dominant, and you know, we had one dominant night against Kentucky, but we were not. We were just a team that was able to manage and find ways to win close games. And you know what? If that's the best thing that can be said about a team, that's a great thing to have be said about it. But it was absolutely a disappointing finish. It was a disappointing performance in the tournament. And we've been used to finishing pretty well, and I think that makes it all the more disappointing. But I still think in terms of the fact that, you know, one of the things that people didn't say much about, our depth was almost entirely freshmen, and when you have to play that many freshmen, it's just unless you have an unusually outstanding group of really talented guys and you know, mature playing guys that are that age, it's very difficult to A, be consistent, to be you know, really, really productive. And I think our team found a way to be very productive despite the fact that we were an extremely young team. But in any event, certainly a very, very disappointing end, regardless of how you perceive the rest of the season. The last game was very disappointing.
And just a moment on that, on Siena, and then I want to take a look at the big picture. It seemed like everything they looked at went in. I mean, their shooting was crazy.
It was. They played a phenomenal game, and that's. But I, you know, some of that has to be attributed to us. If we had been better defensively, or if we had been more proficient offensively. We could have shut them down a few times in a row and you know, got the game back perhaps where we needed it, but we were never able to get consistent stops, and there's no question that they had a couple of guys play well above, you know, their norm. But you know, that's what's going to happen in tournament play, is guys are going to play better than they are sometimes, and you have to be ready for that and be ready to defend that and not allow that to happen. And you know, other years we've been in the tournament, we've played really, really good, solid, sound basketball, and this year we weren't able to do it, and it's very disappointing. It's a very bitter pill, particularly for me to swallow, because you know, we take a lot of pride in the fact that we think that, you know, we know what we're doing, and we think we know how to get them to play well at big times, and we just we didn't get it done in this particular instance.
When you see the way the season ended defensively for your team, it must have been awfully frustrating to you, because I know most coaches want to play great defense and so on. When you look back at it, you had a team that could shoot lights out. Is it sometimes the athleticism? Is it the want to? You know, what is it that makes great defensive teams and teams that don't play up to their expectations defensively?
Well, I think that it's a mentality, and I think that what happened. I think there are a number of things that happened. I think first thing that happened was we just started off the season, you know, scoring so easily and so well that our players were never able to really get their minds wrapped around how important defense was going to be in the big picture. They just could see that we were scoring, you know, 85 and 90 and 95 a night, and that was, you know, even our veterans couldn't see past the fact that that while we were doing that, we were still giving up 80s, and you know, I'm not, I don't care how many points you give up. I'm more, the defensive statistics that I'm more interested in are things like defensive field goal percentage, and
yeah.
and you know, we keep a thing called points per possession, and those are things that I think are more indicative, because in our games, teams are going to score a higher number of points because we play fast, we shoot it quickly, we play an up-tempo style that creates more possessions in a game. Well, the more possessions any team has, the more points they're going to score. So I was never really concerned with how many points we were giving up as much as I was the percentages from three, and those types of things. But I think because we scored a lot early, I think that disguised in our players' minds the need for us to play, you know, better defense. I thought we reached a stretch there in February for about four or five games where we were really, really good defensively, and which kind of gave me the indication that we were capable of being good enough, if not great. And but we were not able to sustain that. So, you know, again, I look at that as my failing to get, despite the fact that we emphasized it and worked on it and tried to mandate it and really did all the things that we knew to do as coaches to try to emphasize the importance and the necessity of our team becoming better defensively. We were just never able to really get it done to where this team could reach its absolute potential.
Kevin Stallings with us on the LastMinuteGolfer.com hotline. Let's talk about some of the positives. You turned what was always a tricky place for people to come in and play, Memorial Gymnasium, into an absolute horror story for visiting teams this year, which was good, going undefeated there in the building. And that kind of sets the tone for the young guys for the rest of their careers. And for the second year in a row, you graduate or you see exit an SEC Player of the Year. And you lose about 3,000 points of career scoring off of your team this year. But like you said, you were very young in spots. A.J. Ogilvy learned how to play in the SEC. We watched it right before our eyes. We watched him mature his game as an SEC player, big man. There are a lot of positives on horizon for this team, isn't there?
Well, there really are. And, you know, we've got a guy or two sitting out that we think that, you know, we've got a big kid sitting out, Festus, who we think is going to impact our team, and we think there are a lot of really positive things going on. I think when you look at the big picture and say, okay, we're coming off of two NCAA tournaments in a row, 3 in 5 years, two Sweet 16s in those three, 49 wins in the last two seasons. You know, there are a multitude of positives, and the positives absolutely far outweigh the negatives. But, you know, again, as coaches, we want more. We want to be the absolute best we can be, and I think as players, they want that too. Now, sometimes they don't want it as badly as we want it, and therein can lie the rub when we push harder than they want to be pushed, et cetera. But I think that there are a number of terrific things going on in our program, and we're really excited about the future of it.
And I'll ask you the sensitive question, and you can answer it in the political way. But, you know, every off season, the phone starts ringing here and there. People want to know, are you interested in this and that? There's some sexy jobs that are going to open up. What are your thoughts about how things will happen in the college basketball world and where Kevin Stallings might fall in some of that? Are you committed right here?
No, I don't think that that's not, you know, I never speculate into other jobs and don't concern myself with things like that. I'm really, really happy. I'm fortunate, actually, to have the job I have. I guess the only thing that I can say with any certainty is that what I just said about feeling the good fortune of being the coach at Vanderbilt,
right,
being able to work at a great place with great kids, and also my family has never, although we've liked every place we've ever lived, we've enjoyed every place that we've ever lived along the way. We've never enjoyed or liked a place as much as we like it here in Nashville, you know, we have a great quality of life. We work with great people. We work with great student athletes. We have tremendous support in our program, and I think our program has a very significant positive energy surge going on right now, And I think the people in the community and our fans feel that, and hopefully that's something we can keep going.
I've been on a personal crusade, too, to make the Nashville the permanent home for the SEC tournament. I don't like it jumping all over the place. I think Nashville is the perfect footprint for the entire SEC, and it would be great, you know, for you guys, but for the whole league and the Somay Center and downtown and everything else. So who knows? Maybe that'll happen at some particular point.
That'd be fine with me.
All right, Coach, I appreciate you all season long. Tremendous season with 26 wins on the year, and we thank you for coming on all year with us. Have a great offseason, and go get those recruits.
All right, we're going to do our best. Thank you very much.
Thank you.